The Writer Files, a member of the Podglomerate Network. Greetings, scribes. I have got some exciting news to share. The Writer Files now has an exclusive Patreon community where subscribers will get exclusive access to uncut ad-free interviews, a writer's happy hour, bonus breakdowns, and content from productivity and publishing experts each month. In the meantime, just head over to patreon.com/thewriterfiles. It's free to join Patreon to get a preview, and you can upgrade anytime. That's patreon.com/thewriterfiles. Help us start something special.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Rainmaker FM.
And welcome back to The Writer Files. I am your host, Kelton Reed. And this week, prolific pro comedy writer, author, and amateur parenting expert James Breakwell took a time out to rap with me about at Exploding Unicorn and his rise to viral Twitter fame, how he juggles multiple writing projects, his family, and his sanity, and the writer as entrepreneur. In the early days of his writing career, James told me that he knew he wouldn't score a book deal sending out query letters or tossing his ideas over the transom, so he decided to build an online following for his unique, self-effacing comedy. Finding inspiration in his family of four girls, all under the age of eight, he turned his attentions to blogging, webcomics, podcasting, and family humor on Twitter, where he eventually found viral fame. In 2016, BuzzFeed dubbed him the funniest dad on Twitter, and shortly thereafter, his audience grew in a big way. He's been featured on media outlets around the world, has attracted over 1 million followers on social media, has signed multiple book deals, and even writes a column for a newspaper. His second book, Bare Minimum Parenting, The Ultimate Guide to Not Quite Ruining Your Child, comes out November 6, 2018, and is a book about doing as little as possible without quite ruining your kid. New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins said, "Parents, read this book and free yourself from the blood sport that parenting has become." And bestselling author Liliana Hart wrote, "Breakwell has a hit, uproariously funny, and at times unexpectedly poignant." Join us for this two-part interview. In part one of this file, James and I discussed the irony of the 10-year overnight success, why James hated journalism right out of college, why it's better to practice your art in public, how to be so good they can't ignore you, why comedy writers need an audience to improve, and the author's unique process for writing 10,000 words in a day. And just a quick note, The Writer Files is now available on Spotify, in addition to most major podcast platforms. Stay tuned. Hey, authors, online publishers, and content creators, could your content marketing campaigns use a little more persuasive firepower? This fall, copyblogger.com is launching their very first copywriting course just for content marketers. You'll learn how to make the most of your unique strengths and how to overcome the challenges that so many content writers face. If you want to learn how to be more persuasive with your copy, point your browser to rainmaker.fm/copywriting. That's rainmaker.fm/copywriting, and get on the list to find out more about that brand new course coming soon. And if you're a fan of The Writer Files, please click subscribe to automatically see new interviews as soon as they're published, and leave us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts to help other writers find us. And we are rolling once again on The Writer Files. Today, I always say I have a special guest. As I listen back to some of my other shows, I realize I say I have a special guest every single time. But this time, I really have an esteemed guest. James Breakwell is joining me today. Thank you so much for hopping on here to do this, James.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm a big fan of the podcast. And I got to say, I've listened to all the episodes, but it's weird hearing you now because I always listen to you at double speed. So everything seems slow to me.
Okay, I'll try to speak a little faster on this one. We'll get in a lot of content. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know you You're doing a lot of things. So let's get into it and talk about how you do all these things. I mean, so Exploding Unicorn, for those listeners who don't know, is this extremely hilarious viral Twitter account that you created, right?
Yes. Yeah. It went viral in 2016 after a whole bunch of years of plugging away at it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know, you know, like so often we talk about the, you know, kind of the irony of like the 10-year overnight success, because you've been a writer forever, right? And a content creator and comedy writer, and you do all these other things like podcasting. And of course you are a dad, to four girls, all under eight now.
Yes. Yes. We have a house full of girls. It keeps us busy. That's for sure.
Right. And so listeners who know Exploding Unicorn in any of the social media platforms where you share your content, I'll of course link to all of them, but you're Exploding Unicorn on Twitter, and you have, of course, an Instagram, you're on Facebook, and your home base is there at explodingunicorn.com, which links obviously to all of this great content, including your books, which you're going to talk about, and your web comics, articles that you've written. You were writing a parenting column, right, for a newspaper?
Yeah, that was kind of my goal, and it took me a whole long time to get there. Do you want my convoluted story now?
Yeah, let's get into it. Okay, so for listeners who might not be familiar with your winding path to this fantastic success, give us a little bit of that background.
So I've known I wanted to be a comedy writer for a long time, and I wasn't real sure how to make a living at it. I kind of thought I'd be the next Dave Barry and work my way up and get a column at the Indy Star and then kind of get that into books and go from there. But out of college, I got a job at a mid-sized newspaper, and I just hated it. Journalism was not for me. To be a journalist, you have to be sarcastic. The best journalists are sarcastic, but you've also got to kind of have the desire underneath to want to save the world. And I didn't have the save the world part of it. I just had the sarcasm. So a year in, I had to get out of that. And then I just got a job in a cubicle, and I thought, you know what, I'm gonna write on the side. And my idea was I looked out at how people got book deals outside of journalism, and there was just this huge crush of humanity trying to get just, you know, a very few number of deals. And I thought, I'm gonna build up an audience, and then the publishers will come to me. So I spent years and years writing comedy articles on my blog, and I just couldn't get anybody to read them. And then finally I moved on to Twitter as a way to drive traffic to that blog. And Twitter's where I found my niche, because it gives you instant feedback for what's working and what's not. And that's not right. What I was getting on the blog. You know, on the blog, you spend 5 hours writing a piece, and then you get two comments. One says, ha ha, that's hilarious. And one says, delete your blog. And that's really not useful feedback. So I went ahead and, you know, I figured out people like jokes about my kids. They like these back and forth conversations. So I went from kind of the guy who jokes about everything to the guy who writes about, you know, raising his four daughters with jokes about that. And then my account started growing from there. And then finally it went viral. And I got to the point where I got my first book deal. And then I was promoting my book. I got in touch with the Indy Star, and I did an interview with them, and it went really well. And then they offered me a column. So kind of in this very amazing roundabout way, I wanted to start out at the Indy Star. I ended up quitting journalism, and I ended up right back there where I wanted to be in the first place. So it was not the route I expected to take.
Yeah, it's a pretty amazing story. And just a quick aside to revisit the exclusive Writer Files Patreon community, where subscribers get access to uncut ad-free interviews, a writer's happy hour, bonus breakdowns, and a lot more. I know that for serious writers, it can be more distracting than ever to cut through the noise, stay productive, and home in on what's happening in the publishing industry. Over 8 years, we've provided a looking glass into the habits of professional writers and publishing industry insiders. And as your humble host, I've decided to launch a membership-based Patreon for serious scribes to cut through the noise, swap tips and tricks, and hang out with like-minded peers. Just head over to patreon.com/thewriterfiles for bonus writing resources, monthly episode breakdowns, writer's happy hour, a community of your peers, ad-free episodes, and more. It's free to join to get a preview, and you can upgrade anytime. That's patreon.com/thewriterfiles. Help us start something cool and special. Keep calm and write on. And you know, I've heard you talk about just kind of that winding path and how long it took you to break through, but it must feel pretty good now, kind of where you're sitting with a new book kind of on the horizon, which comes out or will be out as of November 6th, correct?
Yes, yes. So Bare Minimum Parenting is my second book. It's Bare Minimum Parenting, The Ultimate Guide to Not Quite Ruining Your Child. And it's kind of the opposite of all those other parenting guides out there. There's so many books who tell you like all the extra things you could do to help your kid along, to give them the edge, to push them ahead. And I just think, what's the point of that? I think we become adults and everything kind of averages out. You can't tell who had a super mom and dad and who just had regular parents and who had extra tutoring and who didn't. We're adults. We're all kind of mediocre. So my premise is, if we're all going to end up mediocre and average anyway, what's the easiest way to get your kid to being an average without, you know, without going overboard? And in doing that, I just set out to write a funny book, but I accidentally proved a point. I think by the end of it, I convinced myself, and hopefully I'll convince the readers, that actually your kids are going to be better off if you take it easy and relax, maybe don't obsess quite as much, that I think you'll come out with, you know, more even keeled kids rather than these parents who put all this pressure on them. So hopefully that message will get through. But yeah, it was a really fun book to write, and hopefully it'll be a fun book to read.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is a lot of fun. I'm enjoying it quite a bit as a father myself. And it's funny, but yeah, as you say, you did kind of prove a point, because I think I did also read something recently about this very phenomenon that, you know, there's only like 10% of, you know, the things you think matter actually do affect, you know, kind of the outcome or the neurobiology or whatever it is.
Yeah. I mean, I've never looked at an adult and thought, man, I bet that guy had the wrong kind of stroller when he was a baby. Like, you just, there's no way to trace it back to that one specific thing.
Right. It's pretty amazing. So the book is about doing as little as possible without quite ruining your child. And of course, there's some tongue in cheek stuff, but yeah, the truth does really kind of shine through there. As a parent, I think parents are really going to kind of connect with that. It's gotten some funny blurbs there. With humor, insight, and honesty, smart-ass James Breakwell tells you what no other parenting book has the guts to say. Relax. You and the kids will be just fine. And you know, so many, I think, first-time parents do really just obsess about the smallest little things that make no difference whatsoever, right?
Yeah, and it's especially bad when you're a first-time parent. But I mean, there are people who carry it through all their kids. They just kind of lose perspective, and they just become, you know, just consumed by their kid's life. That becomes their top priority and everything. And it's like, why? I mean, I think your kid's going to turn out more or less the same. It's kind of an exercise in narcissism to say, well, my kid, everything is up to me. That everything will be a product of my decisions. When, you know, it's a whole separate person. They're going through their own experiences. They have their own goals and dreams. And maybe we just need to take a step back and let them be them. And it's not a book by any means about being a bad parent, despite what the title implies. I mean, it's really a book about just giving yourself permission to not worry about all of your decisions, to say what I'm doing now is probably fine, and I don't need to go out and do a crazy amount extra. I'm enough already on my own. So hopefully that's a message that resonates and maybe counteracts some of the books that say, and especially the websites that say, you need to obsess about everything and you'll lose sleep over this. Hold on a second. Sorry about that.
No problem. That's perfect. I think I'll leave in the...
I get nervous about recording this podcast. I try to record all my stuff after 9 at night because everybody's in bed and asleep. I thought, oh man, the animals are going to be up. The kids are going to be up. What's going to happen? So we'll see if they stay out.
No, it's great. It's great. It's real.
Yeah. This is my life. Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of looking ahead... You know, I know it seems like you've got your fingers in a lot of different stuff. Of course, you know, you're just a prolific content creator. So in the run up to kind of the book launch, are you also simultaneously working on these multiple other projects? You know, are you podcasting? Are you doing the web comics, or are you just kind of focusing on the book right now?
No, I never stop projects. It's a big mistake I make. I just add more projects to the pile. So every time I have something big coming out, like a book, I've still got the daily tweets going out. I've still got the 3 daily webcomics. I've still got the 2 podcasts. I've still got the column. It all just keeps going. And unfortunately, the way the timing always works out is every time I'm promoting one book that's about to launch, I've got another book that's about due. So I've got another deadline coming up in December, and I need to look ahead and probably plan my life a bit better. But really, I've seen such benefits from not giving up on projects like my webcomics, for example, on jamesbreakwell.com. I've got a webcomic with stick figures, and I use it on Instagram now. It's actually caused me to grow on Instagram. But for years, I didn't make any money on that. I thought, I'm wasting my time with this. Nobody's reading it, but I just stuck with it. I've made 1,700 of those daily comics in a row. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden with my first book, I was able to use them in the book and they had a purpose. And now they're actually causing me to grow on Instagram, and that does lead to ad revenue and things like that. So I found the benefit to just kind of sticking with things that don't necessarily seem like they make a lot of sense right away, as long as I have fun doing them and as long as I think I can put out something that people will enjoy. So yeah, I'm not getting a lot of sleep right now, but I am putting out a lot of content.
That's really cool. I mean, it kind of speaks to that idea of, again, kind of like practicing in public, and probably as a professional comedy writer, it's like, you know, the more you do it, the better you get at it. And then, you know, it's that old mantra of, you know, be so good, they can't ignore you, right?
Yeah, and they certainly ignored me for a very long time. I mean, yeah. They could ignore you for an extended period. But yeah, that's what Twitter really gave me, is it was kind of a testing ground. I'd like to think I was always funny. I knew how to write a good joke, but I've gone back and looked to my early days, and those were terrible. I would be embarrassed to tweet something today that I tweeted in 2012. So it wasn't just a matter of finding an audience and getting it out there. It was that factor of hearing back which jokes mm-hmm. work and which don't through, you know, likes and retweets that made all the difference. And that would be my advice to anybody else who is trying to break into comedy writing, is you've got to get to a place where you can test out your writing. Just writing for yourself with no feedback is never going to do you any good, because you're never going to improve. And you do need to improve, because everybody who's ever written a joke thinks they're as good as they're ever going to be right at that moment. I even think it. I think right now I'm as good as I'm ever going to be. And I guarantee you 2 years from now, I'm going to look back and think, man, I was terrible. Why did I write those things?
Yeah. The new one's coming out. And what are you presently working on? You have another deadline looming. So I assume you're working on a third book.
Yeah. So I took a little different approach this time. So the second book was the hardest book I've written, because it was kind of one big overarching argument I had to carry through an entire book. And it's hard to do that, you know, for 50 or 60,000 words, to kind of maintain one thread and still be funny. So for my new one, I wanted to go more of the short burst approach. So my first book was Only Dead on the Inside, A Parent's Guide to Surviving the Zombie Apocalypse, kind of a more surrealist approach to parenting. And I'm going to try that again with my third book that's going to come out in the fall of next year, that I just wanted to take a bunch of different crazy survival scenarios and add kids to them. How do you fight off a shark attack if you're also with a kid? What do you do if your child gets abducted by aliens? What do you do if an ostrich attacks and you're with your kid? Just all these absurd scenarios. And it's been a lot of fun to write. It's almost like improv comedy. You just set it up. Here's you, here's your kid, here's this random attacker, go. And it's come together really quick. And it's actually, I've tried writing this one in a new way. I know you always ask people how they write. And usually so my first book I wrote on a computer. My second book I wrote mostly on my phone, because I realized I was doing all my tweets and all of my online stuff on there anyway, and it just worked really well. You don't hit the giant blank screen. It's a smaller blank screen, so it's less intimidating, and I found that I could swipe words on there just slow enough that I wouldn't get distracted. By the time I got to the end of one sentence, I would know what to write for the next one rather than wandering off and browsing the internet. So I thought that was, you know, the most efficient way. But then with this third one, I started using voice to text, and it changed everything. I wrote the first day I tried using voice to text, I wrote 10,000 words in a day. It blew me away.
Wow.
And I was really worried. I was like, well, those are 10,000 words. What if they're terrible? And I went back. And I mean, they were terrible, but they were first draft terrible. They were just as terrible as anything else I write on the first draft. So that was really encouraging. So I think, since then, I've got an email list that I send out every week. And every time I start a new article, I now always do the first draft voice to text, because it gets it out there fast. You don't worry about going back and second guessing yourself or fixing what you did. And it gets the bones of the article or the book down really fast. And I found that's the best way for me.
Yeah, that's great, because obviously writing is rewriting, and you can't edit a blank page to other tired tropes. But, you know, I mean, I think so many authors have said, you know, or, you know, I guess the Seth Godin quote is, I don't get writer's block because I don't, you know, I write like I talk, and I don't get talker's block. So you just kind of put it to the ultimate test there, and it seems to be working for you.
Yeah, it's exciting. I tell everybody I know about it. Well, other writers, I don't know that many writers, but I don't know if it's the thing a lot of people would try, but it's kind of neat because you can just kind of go walk around in the woods, or like, oh, what I'll do at home sometimes if all the kids and everybody are home, I'll just go and circle the block and I'll come back and I'll have a first draft done. And that's just so much easier than sitting at a computer. Cause that blank screen, it's psychological, you know, it's looming there in front of you. But if the blank screen is tiny and you don't even have to look at it, you can just look ahead of you as you walk and talk, it makes it a lot faster for me.
Interesting. Yeah. And I'm sure with kids and cats and dogs and everything, it's probably harder to focus and concentrate if you are working at home. Do you have a home office or?
Yeah, I do. But it runs into some problems. So I have a pet pig and a pet dog, and this is where we lock them during the day. Their doggy door goes in and out from here. So every time I do a podcast before 9 p.m., when the pig goes to bed, when the kids go to bed, she sleeps upstairs in their room. But at some point here, if we record long enough, you're going to hear a lot of oinking in the background as she bursts in. So it's here and it's nice, but it's really not a total sanctuary until everyone's in bed. So before that, it's nice to be able to get up and walk around. And then when I do that too, I don't feel like I'm completely ignoring my family. I'm out there with them, kind of, sort of. It alleviates a little bit of that dad guilt.
Thanks so much for joining us for this half of a tour of the writer's process. If you enjoy The Writer Files, please subscribe to the show and leave us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts to help other writers find us. And for more episodes or just to leave a comment or a question, you can always drop by writerfiles.fm and chat with me on Twitter @KeltonReed. Cheers. Talk to you next week.